put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
Welcome to Hex Rated, where we four witches will take you on a magical journey through foul language and outrageous feminism, plus some witchy shit.
All right.
That was my clap.
Excellent.
I will match it up and it will rock. Oh shit. Hex rated, bitches!
Hex rated!
Yay! Aww. It's the OG3.
It is. It is the OG3. We're back.
It's me, Scarlett.
Back again.
I'm Blackbird.
And I'm Lily.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
And we're here.
It's Walpurgisnacht.
It is.
It is.
It is. It's Hexenacht.
So here Nacht. We are.
Beltane, May Day.
Whatever you want to call it. So many things.
Coven on the mountainside. That's what we're fucking doing. That's
like right. That. Like it.
What's going on in your witchiness? Is
nothing
live. Nothing really nothing.
No. Oh, I know what I was doing all week. We binged Shadow and Bone and on Friday night, and then I read all three of the first books.
So is it that good?
No. The show is cute.
Okay.
It's kind of trash, but the books are fucking horrible. I think from fandom that they get better in the later trilogy, but the first trilogy, particularly the very first one, Shadow and Bone, is not well written. It's like written at like a elementary school reading level, just like very simple sentences, which is fine. I mean, like George R. R. Martin, for example. I mean, I don't need like Tolkien-esque very compact sentences that are full of this made-up language and written
poetry. Are you sure you don't need that?
I mean, I do need it, but I don't always have to have it. So, like, I don't need, like, all the SAT vocabulary words or whatever. But I do need, you know, like, descriptions of what the fuck's going on. Like, what people look like, how they feel. Like, use your words. You are a writer. So it's not great. A bunch of the changes that the show made are a huge improvement, primarily because the second trilogy, the books subsequent to the first ones, are actually a separate storyline, and they've smushed them all together. So they've made three different storylines all running in parallel, which in the books, they're completely separate sets of books, which is genius because as they're written, like I said, it's kind of boring and not good. The show is cute. I mean, it's not like early Game of Thrones, like amazing world building and amazing dialogue. It's not quite that, but if you're missing it, you'll have it. Of course, the way they reeled me in is I am always a sucker for a dark-haired, dark-eyed, evil dude who is too goth to function, which they have, and I love it.
They deliver.
You give me a Loki, you give me a Kylo Ren, you give me a Darkling. I'm involved now. So,
you're there.
But no, it's the changes. The cast is across the board super adorable and endearing. They bring a lot to it. I enjoyed the show way more than the books, which is like something I never fucking say. So, I mean, I said that about like, you know, True Blood, but both of those are trash. It's just that the books are exceptionally trash.
Even worse.
They're so bad. They're so bad.
I never got into True Blood, and I wasn't planning on getting into this, so... I mean,
it's a quick watch and it's a quick read because I did all of it in 24 hours.
Doesn't sound like
and slept.
I'm not going to read it at all. I'm not going to read
it. Don't. No, you're thanks. Not. No. I mean, I might just go ahead and dive into the other trilogy.
Just for fun?
It seems to be everybody's favorite, and it seems like she's getting better at writing as she goes along. But for Christ's sake, she went to Yale. I mean, it's not like... She should already know how to fucking write.
I mean, whatever. You should know how to write real good, in my opinion.
It's not good.
Okay, well, I mean...
Hot take, it's not good. The show is cute. The show is cute, however. Really? Would recommend.
Really sad it's about cute. My college education right now. It's like, I picked the wrong thing to do. Like, there's stuff out there where I wouldn't have to work as hard as I do. And I could, you know... turn my shitty fiction into a multi-series franchise. That's awesome. I have been what have I been doing? Well, I took some days off of work last week, so I have been back for a full week, which is hard and terrible. But I have realized that it would not matter if I work 24 hours, 7 days a week. I will never catch up. This is the worst year for this job ever. And I'm fine. I'm really fine. Because I have outside and plants and garden. And I picked a carrot today.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
It was literally as big as the top of my pinky finger. but I was like, well, because like they're baby carrots, right? So I have that working against me. So I'm like, hey, I wonder when these carrots are going to be ready. They've been in the ground maybe 3 weeks tops. Like, when are these going to be ready? It's like totally Scarlet's. I'm impatient with this thing. When is carrot coming? Right. So I went ahead and picked one, and it was like so tiny. I was like, I don't care. This is good to know. Another couple, maybe a month or so, they might be
again.
Big enough. I don't know. But whatever.
I'm gonna share my ignorance again. I always thought baby carrots were just regular carrots that were pre-peeled and cut into smaller pinky size bites, that they weren't actually from a dwarf carrot.
So that is
root.
That is true.
That's exactly
there is
what
that. Yes, that is true. What you buy in the store that they call baby carrots are big carrots that they have cut to a certain dimension. There is an actual thing that is a baby carrot that if you've seen carrots when you pull them out of the ground, you know, they're not cut into fancy pieces for you. They're like long and like a thin triangle of orange.
Yes, I'm familiar with the carrots.
I will describe the carrot in detail now.
No, keep going. No,
from Looney Tunes,
if
nothing else.
But you can have
to know.
The baby carrot that you can put in the ground only grows to about that big. Total. And then you will see this in fancy.
For our listeners, Blackbird is holding up her thumb and forefinger, showing us a size which you cannot see. It's that big, you guys.
What I'm saying is, it's that big. About like 3 or 4 inches tops, baby carrots. I see you trying to smush my head. Is it fun? I could do it too.
Good kids in the hall throwback.
Hey, oh my God.
See, whenever anybody is like, do y'all want to do like some YouTube videos? I was like, do y'all people really want to see us? Like,
I think they do. Oh, no. I think it would probably be more helpful than me just saying it's this big. Anyway, there is such a thing as a baby carrot that looks exactly like a grown up carrot, except it's real tiny, is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, great.
Does that help?
Well, I'm glad I was partly wrong, but also partly right.
You are, you're 100% right, but there is also an addition to. So
okay.
There's that. Anyway, carrot. It was delicious. That is what I have to say to you. Pinky sized carrot, delicious.
Was it crunchy?
Crunchy,
a little sweet.
And it was a little sweet. And it wasn't like when you eat a carrot and you go, this carrot is balls. It was not
this
that. It was delicious.
Balls.
Anyway. I grew a fucking half a carrot. Thank you. I'm bowing for everyone. Everyone in the audience, I'm bowing. All right, it's your turn. Lily, what's up?
Not lots. I did some stuff with the moon the other night.
Well, that's good, because guess what we're talking about today?
What are we talking about, Scarlett?
The moon.
The moon? Oh, my God.
The moon. Say it again. I want to hear about what everybody did for sure. But do we want to start with some basic moon questions? Basic moon knowledge? Where do you want to start with this?
Basic moon knowledge.
Yeah, let's
knowledge.
Just...
Oh shit, you made an outline. Not even looking at it. My bad.
I've got the outline pulled up, so extra 10 bonus points for me.
Yeah, I've got it right here. Yeah. So
I am logged in to the outline.
I'm gonna go out of order, so don't freak out. So why do you like, what is it about the moon that is like so strongly tied with witchcraft?
Yeah, Blackbird, tell us.
Is it me? Why is it me?
I mean, I can answer my own question. That makes it seem like it was rhetorical, but I mean, obviously, like, the idea of, like, nighttime, things that are taking place in secrecy, in the darkness, menstrual cycles.
Or femininity, let's say, I guess, depending on, I mean, that could mean anything. Yeah, your cycle.
But yeah, I think the nighttime, also the more cyclical nature of it, that it goes through phases, so it seems a little more mysterious parts of the time it's hidden. And also it has this like invisible force to it. You know, it's pulling the tides, but it's invisible. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot to work with there that is obviously super witchy. I mean, it's kind of such an obvious question, but I thought I'd lead with it. It didn't work, but I tried.
Hey, I've joined the podcast now.
Yeah, I see you're on the outline. I see your little picture.
Yeah, you can see that I actually...
on the Google
Well,
doc.
I don't know what happened, like... you sent me that and it went away. I don't know.
It was the moon.
Yeah, let's blame it. Oh, nope, I'm not doing that. Well, right. So the moon is inherently feminine and like, or I mean,
is it though?
I mean, to me, no. I guess.
I see.
Well,
that
in the way that it's
that
like super powerful and moves fucking oceans. Yes. What do you think of that? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
well,
too.
I think that, like, for Southern, like, European, like Roman and Greek mythology, the moon is certainly depicted as being feminine, but there's plenty of mythologies where the moon is male.
Right.
Which, when I first learned that as a child, seemed kind of counterintuitive to me. But, I mean, it's really not. I mean, I do think the 28-day cycle is kind of obvious as far as menstrual cycles, but then of course we know that not all women menstruate, and certainly not as regularly as 28 days if they do. So, and I mean, I could make an argument for the sun being feminine in that, you know, in terms of it
nurturing growth and yeah that's a good point,
and burning you and causing skin cancer and
that too,
disrupting electromagnetic waves. Ooh. All things that women are famous for being able to do, right?
Oh yes.
I'm being facetious.
I mean, we're still on tying it to witchcraft, right? So I think what you said about the nighttime is the thing that resonated the most with me, because I think it's also like, I don't know, this is gonna sound, it's just, I don't know, I feel like I'm really not participating as strongly as possible, but I feel like it's like not of this world, and witches are kind of like outskirts too, or kind of, you know, the outcasts even sometimes. And it's like the moon is something identifiable because of their otherness.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I mean, not just in the sense that like if you're doing something secretive or you want it to be hidden, you're gonna literally do it at night, but I do like your point that like the moon is literally like a satellite. It is separate from Earth. So I totally get that vibe. I was gonna ask you guys, when you think of deities of the moon, like what deities do you think of? Because we kind of already delved into I pushed us into a tangent about male and female deities of the moon. And my own bias is that most of mine that I think of first would be female goddesses.
Yeah.
But what deities do you guys associate with the moon?
I mean, for me, only Hecate, really. And I'm trying to think if, like, before I kind of was, you know, had this relationship with her if I thought of any other deity when I would think of the moon. I don't think so. It was more just like a all encompassing her kind of vibe. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like not like mama goddess or anything like that, but like it feels like it's like I'm making hand gestures that are pointless on a podcast. It's like an all enveloping like a blanket goddess. God, that sounds so weird. But like almost like how the night is like a blanket. I feel like the moon's part of that.
I don't know. I always really liked the mythology part of Fantasia. And right. my two favorite parts are when Nyx comes over and she literally like has a cloak and that cloak drifts over the horizon and becomes the night sky. And then there's a great picture of a crescent moon and then Artemis appears in it and it's her bow. And so I always kind of went with that. I remember when I was really, really little, like trying to wrap my head around the idea that like Diana Artemis is sort of the goddess of the moon, but so is Selene, you know, the older Titan. And I'm like, how can there be two goddesses of the moon? Mm. And then I think that that's kind of what broke open my idea of like, oh, like I'm a pantheist. I mean, I wasn't using that word when I was like in second grade, but the idea that... you know, that there's overlap, that they aren't these hard boundaries, and that it's more of an archetype, and you can have multiple deities or multiple forces or name a abstract or inanimate object as this or that at different times. And then subsequently to that, I read a beautiful poem. I think it's one of the Orphic hymns, but it talks about Artemis on Earth, Selene in the sky, and then Persephone in the underworld, and then being three sides basically of Hecate. And that really, really spoke to me right away because I love lists and dividing things up and having these neat sets of stuff. So I think that originally really, really spoke to me. And the moon itself, of course, going through various phases, I liked that it could be these different things at different times. So I tend to associate the moon most with Selene or Artemis. But I also associate it with Thoth or Jehuti, the Egyptian god of knowledge. He invented writing, so he's a real rad. and the moon was thought of as being like his one eye, which is a very kind of Odinic Odin kind of vibe, because Odin, of course, gave up his eye for knowledge. So having this like milky white, maybe kind of blind eye associated with another god of knowledge to me seems like some very synchronous type of symbolism there that isn't related, but like resonates really strongly with the same iconography. So I always really liked that. So, yeah.
Lily, do you have any deities that you think of?
Almost exclusively like the Greco-Roman canon, like,
yeah,
I don't, because I you know what, I work with deities so infrequently at this point that really it's it's just like my previous associations with like Artemis and stuff that I go to when I like think of moon deities.
It's almost like for me, whatever relationship I have with the moon, it's almost on a more primal level than thinking, thinking of a deity when I think about the moon, or when I take in the moon, if I'm doing some sort of moon magic or ritual, like it feels deeper than just a deity. Does that make sense?
No, that totally makes sense. Well, I'm totally with you on that.
Especially if you're like literally outside looking at the moon, it's always amazing. Yeah. No matter where it is in the sky or what phase, it's like always striking, even in a city with tons of light pollution. Like it's hard not. And plus you get to stare at the moon. You can't stare at the sun.
Right.
You'll go blind. So plus maybe that's part of it too. Like the moon's more accessible in that way. You can't really go looking at the sun.
Well, and it's also like I was thinking about, you know, tying it to witchcraft or whatever. And it's like, oh, baby.
Aww. Yeah, this, it's getting picked up. Her screaming is getting picked up on the...
Oh, that's okay. Audio. I mean, we're human people. We have little human people.
We're human people.
Little human
I'm not.
People. You're not. You are
Scarlet
an alien
is
for
not
sure.
A human person.
No, not a human person. No, mm-hmm. I was just thinking also about how, like, I don't know that in my lifetime I will be able to ever go to the moon, which is not something you can really say about any other place on Earth. Like, I can get to all those places if I really wanted to. I can't just, like, buy a plane ticket to the moon. I know that sounds real dumb. But do you see where I'm going? Like, it's super mysterious because I can't probably ever set foot on that.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about that before we got started because my parents are extremely old. My mom was born in 1942. So she remember, both of my parents remember the moon landing so vividly.
Right.
And that whole decade leading up to it of Kennedy being like, we're going to go to the moon. And then they fucking did it. Yeah. And it was like this competition. So it was like bragging rights to be like, fuck you, Russia. But it was also like, we set this insane goal that is completely unprecedented.
Right.
And fucking did it.
Yeah.
On a deadline, like, yeah. It's fucking nuts. And like, even decades and decades later, having grown up always knowing that people were on the moon before, like, when I watch documentaries or fictionalized films about that, like, I tear up. It's like so amazing.
Agreed.
Especially when you think about like the level of technology they had, like they had nothing to build on from previous, like, it's fucking nuts. And like, they had no idea what was up there. I mean, it completely boggles my mind. So I try to think back to like what it would be like to be a person that didn't know that people would be on the moon one day, mm-hmm. and then having it happen. Like, it's a huge shift in the world's consciousness just sure. to even know that it's possible. Even if, I mean, I think that is a huge chapter being turned in humanity. So, I think trying to keep that wonder and awe of the moon is amazing, and we have like more knowledge of it now. Like, we know it's not made of cheese. Obviously my favorite band is Smashing Pumpkins, so one of my all-time favorite music videos is the Tonight Tonight video, which is based on a silent film called Trip to the Moon, which in turn is sort of based loosely on Jules Verne. And there is something just like so charming about what people thought was out there and how you would do it and what it's made of and who lives there. And I just, that kind of crazy wonder and conjecture, I think is really powerful. And like, I don't ever want to be able to lose that. It's one of the reasons why I just really like astronomy. It's so exciting and magical and awe-inspiring.
But it is like, I like you were saying, that kind of blows my mind what you just said, where like, we have knowledge of it. I mean, we kind of know what it's made of, what's, you know, what's going on. People have like, you can see the terrain and name all the things, whatever. Like, people, you know, 200-300 years ago could not do any of that and just had to guess, like, that people weren't living on the moon, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's,
or that it's powdery, that the
that
surface
it,
of it's like talk, and like that the grab, like how it looks when someone's moving around on it, that you're like kind of bouncy, and that the stars don't twinkle when you're on the moon because there's no atmosphere, like shit that like now seems so fucking obvious because
right.
we grew up with it since pre-K, but like nobody knew that like 200 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
So do you guys feel like you are in tune with the lunar cycles? Do you feel like you know that you're super witchy and you know where the moon is, or you feel that it's affecting you? Or
no,
spoiler alert, I don't. I totally
no,
don't.
Not at all. Like, really, like I feel like more often other people tell me the cycle of the moon than me. Like at work,
It's kind of like, so in teaching, I think it's the same in like other professions too. There's kind of like this like folklore, I don't even know if folklore is the right term, about like the kids acting up more like around the full moon. And I haven't really like personally noticed that, but all of the teachers, like other teachers I know, especially older ones, like around the full moon, they'll be like, oh, it's a full moon tonight, that's why these kids are out of their minds. And I'll be like, I feel like the kids are just always like this. Like, I don't feel like it is like abnormal out of their minds. I feel like kindergartners are just like feral. But
I mean, but I hear that from like ER nurses and doctors and like cops and stuff. That's like a pretty common, I mean, that's where the word lunatic comes from, the idea that like, so making you crazy,
making you crazy. But so I feel like other people tell me more often that I'm actually like aware of the moon. And I've actually started paying attention to the moon more because my daughters are very interested in it. So if we're outside, like either early in the morning because we're getting ready to go to school, like I'm putting them in the car to take them to daycare, or if we're like, I don't know, if we're outside for any reason, like the moon is like the first thing they look for. And they're like, Mom, it's the moon. And I'm like, oh yeah, that is, there's the moon. And so I'm paying attention to it more because they're interested in it. But I mean, when I do pay attention to the moon, I like it. I just like don't go out of my way. Like, I don't feel like attuned to the moon, you know?
4 out of 5 would recommend.
To the moon. I'm going to write a song.
Please do.
I would like to speak on that because every night at about the same time, I take out the cat poop.
This is getting sexy. I know. Keep
it's
going.
Real.
Yeah.
It's real. Feeling it. Feeling it's real. It.
It's getting a little hot spicy. In here. Tell me more.
It's real spicy in the old Blackbird house. The cat poop goes out and then we go to sleep. But when, so I have to go out to my, we keep the garbage things in the front. It's like, it's, I don't know, it's like on the side of the house in a normal house, but it's kind of the driveway here. So I have to go out and look for the, I take the trash out and I look for the moon every night, really. I'd have to be sick or something, or not available to scoop cat poop, which is not a thing I can ever not be available to do. But yeah, so I look for the moon every night. Now, that being said, I am not a person that has really ever been attuned to the moon. I have never really felt the cycles. I think there are some times when I'm more apt to notice it and look for it. And it's always, to me, it's always a huge surprise when I see it, like, in the daytime. I mean, not a surprise, like, I don't know what's going to, I'm going to see
what
it.
Is, but,
like,
what is that?
What the fuck is
what
that?
What is that perfectly round cloud?
I mean, I think, like, it always takes me, I don't know, like, you're seeing something that's not supposed to be in the daytime sky, right? So, I don't know. I sound dumb. It's not something.
No, I remember the first time I was in preschool and I was out on the playground and I noticed the, like, it was a, like, waxing gibbous moon. So, it was almost full, and you could see it in the early afternoon. And I remember being like, holy shit, you can see the moon during the day?
Yeah,
I didn't know that was one of the choices.
Right.
I remember just being like, wow, what a time to be alive.
Which is like the whole time. Right. I think it's more like delight. Yes, that's a better description. Like, I am delighted when I see
surprised.
It in the daytime. Not surprised.
Ah, what's that? Scared me.
I've never seen that before. And then when I see it, that's not out of the context of looking at it at the same time every night when I take out the trash. Like, when I see it and it's huge, like, on the horizon, it's like this big orange thing. Oh my God. It's just like, I lose my mind. I do. I get lunatic-y. I get lunar madness. I do, because I just love it
lunacy
so much.
Would
I
be
love
the
it. Lunacy.
Noun.
Lunatic madness. Lunar madness.
I'm going to cut in for a moment to just say that Moonstruck with Cher and Nicolas Cage is one of my all-time
excellent
favorite movies.
That Cher is movies and well,
such a good movie.
Witches of Eastwick with Cher and
Cher. Yeah, Cher movies are quite good. Like, except for the second Mamma Mia. Like, she could have sat that one out.
Nope.
I mean, Bill Murray did Garfield. That. We all make some poor choices.
She's in Tea with Mussolini with Dame Maggie Smith, Dame Judi Dench,
which good.
Already period piece with the dames, so signed up for, but done. She's in it too. It's excellent. Highly recommend.
She had also just the 80s Cher hair was literally the best hair. Oh my god, hair.
So good.
Unbelievable.
We all wanted that hair, and I mean, it wasn't probably real, but it looked so great.
Looks good in Moonstruck, let me tell you.
Moonstruck yeah. is a great
probably
movie.
The only time I find Nicolas Cage sexy, like it works for him in that movie, and I cannot honestly think of any other movie I've seen where I think of Nicolas Cage as any sort of like attractive.
Not Con Air.
I've never seen Con Air.
Oh, it's so good.
He's like the bad guy, so though, right? He's the bad
no,
guy.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's
the
good guy.
He's the good bad guy.
He's the yeah. good bad guy.
He murdered someone, but he's like the good con that is getting released. And then John Malkovich is like the really, really bad serial killer. And then Steve Buscemi is a child molester that is hilarious and adorable. And John Cusack's in it, I think.
What?
Really?
Yeah, John Cusack's in it.
Wow.
And I love like everything Cusack. He's in.
All-star like, cast. All-star cast.
Yeah.
All right, I got to watch Con Air.
It's great.
Yeah,
I guess it's like Face Off level.
I love Face Off.
I love Face Off.
Oh my god! If only you could really switch other into
never
other
seen
people's faces.
Face Off either.
Oh, so. You need to watch that.
I mean, I know the premise.
Too sweet. Yes, but you haven't seen the surgery.
Face Off. They take their faces off.
What? Their faces
no.
come
what?
Off, and then no. they go back on.
What? No. The thing that fucked me up so bad when I was a kid and watched this movie is at some point, Nicolas Cage, who's the bad guy, is like talking to one of his little like side bitches.
Mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage having side bitches.
Well, he's like this criminal kingpin, so of course he's got to have like an entourage of like ladies at his beck and call
of
on the
course.
Payroll. And he turns to one and he's like, if I let you suck my tongue, would you be grateful?
What?
Oh my god.
What?
Hideous. It
what?
I mean, I get like I start to vomit.
Line.
It's horrible. Oh. I think the original line was probably dick. Oh. And they were like, the way you're saying it is so gross that
were
we
you watching like the WB
dick.
Version or the
no this was in the theater but that's how disgusting that line is just the way I said it yeah, but then no. add on his face delivering that line
nope.
and it's just so obscene that they were like, we gotta tone this down. We gotta self-censor here to protect people.
But no.
This is gonna traumatize a little people. Wee Scarlet for decades to come. What the fuck are we? We're talking about the moon.
How did we get? Oh,
this is
Nicolas
Cage. This is
that was like
welcome to Hex.
I was about ready to launch
witchcraft.
I was ready to launch into New Orleans cemeteries like any minute now.
Oh yeah, his fucking pyramid.
I know, right? Oh man.
Okay, let's table that. We'll do the all Nick Cage episode later.
Okay.
So
I have a lot of feelings about National Treasure, like a lot of feelings.
Do you?
What?
Okay, so note it down, set it aside.
Okay,
we'll come back to it later.
All right, we're doing a we're doing a Nick Cage episode.
Wait, let's do it.
Okay. I'll watch Face Off and Con Air before, so I can
yes.
Okay.
And National Treasure.
Okay, I've seen.
But
National
yeah, he
Treasure.
Does this horrible. He does this horrible southern drawl in Con Air, and his nickname for his wife is Hummingbird. He's like, hey, Hummingbird. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's almost as disgusting as, if I let you suck my tongue, would you be grateful? But not quite. It's bad.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. So what are your, do you have any favorite moon myths? I'll start with mine. I always liked when I... You know, obviously we grew up with, like, the man in the moon, and then I found out that in other cultures they see a rabbit, because when the moon's flipped over, the dark spot looks more like a rabbit, and I was like, and that was another thing that as a child, like, blew my mind. I was like, oh, like, different people see different things in these, like, abstract shapes that are not, you know, like, we search for symbols and meanings, and like it can look like whatever you want.
It's true.
Oh my god. So that totally blew my mind. And I always, because I was a big fan of, and I totally blanked out on the name, but it was an illustrated Greek children's book of myths, but it had Endymion, which was this human that Selene fell in love with and wished for him to always stay young and beautiful. And so he slept. So she would come, I guess, assault him in his sleep.
Nice.
Now that I'm looking at it. Looking at it through a modern lens.
Ooh.
I don't know. But, I mean, she just... But the picture is beautiful because it's got the moon as, like, a spotlight in the sky. And then her face is peering out of it, looking down on him lovingly. And it's just a lovely illustration. And I was always quite taken with it as a child. So I always really liked that image more than, I guess, the actual myth, I guess.
I like that. I don't know that I really... Do I have any favorites? I never really saw a man. Is that wrong?
No, I never really saw a man either. Like, I guess maybe I just don't have the imagination. I just don't see anything. Like, I just see dark spots. Like,
I see an egg.
I see an egg.
I mean, I know it's not oval, but or oblong, but I see, like, I don't know. Sometimes I think it's like... Man, well, we'll get to our ritual, but it was so bright the other night. It looked like the fucking sun. It was so bright. I mean, it wasn't, you could still like look at it, but not for long. It was that bright.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have any favorite myths.
Okay. Well,
I'm
then
sorry.
We'll just move on.
I like your story. We'll keep that part for sure.
Oh, the other thing I was going to circle back to on the sensing where the moon is or whatever. I will say that something that helped me was when I realized, because I have a calendar on my phone that tells me moonrise, moonset, and moon phase. And when I realized that, and of course, your mileage may vary depending on what, like, latitude you're at. Because the closer to the equator you get, like, the days are more evenly 12 and 12. But when the moon is full, it's at, it's directly above at its zenith at midnight. Which means when the moon's full, it starts rising about when sunset is. So it starts rising in the east like the sun does as the sun is going down. And then it starts setting in the west when the sun starts coming up. Now, like I said, if you live at a higher or lower latitude where the days and nights get disproportionately longer and shorter, your mileage may vary. But roughly that's what it is. So then when it's a new moon... it is at its zenith at noon, so you usually don't see it, but you see it usually right at sunset there on the horizon, that little Cheshire cat grin, which is like my favorite. That's probably my favorite. And same thing, so then when it's so that helped me because then I kind of have a general idea of like where to be looking for the moon.
Right.
But having an app really, really helps. And then you can always just blurt out, like, what time moonrise is or what phase it is. And people are like, wow, how'd you know that? And you're like, well, because I'm a witch. So I just know. I just feel the moon.
Pulling. I do look at it on my weather app. I usually know, like, especially when the rise is kind of what I mostly just pay attention to. I don't know why, but it took me a long time here in California to like figure out where the fuck the moon is supposed to be all the time. It like kept like I would go out at the same time every night and it was like in a different place every night. I mean, I know, but like,
well, yeah,
I know, but it should be in generally the same location. Like not, it's just, it was a lot.
When I lived in New York, I remember I realized that I lived in Manhattan, so you're always in the shadow of a building.
Yeah.
And I realized it had been like 3 months since I'd seen the moon, and it was a very unhappy time in my life for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
But the lack of sunlight and moonlight was definitely one of them.
Yeah, I never think about that, how tall buildings really fuck up like just your sense of like what the night sky or what the day sky even would look like.
Do we want to just quickly, quick and dirty, talk about the phases of the moon? So there's what? Dark Moon. Dark. You can't see it.
Right.
Cannot see it. It's dark.
New Moon is when it's a little sliver.
Yep.
And then like waxing is when it's getting bigger. Waning is when it's getting smaller. And then there's full moon, and then sometimes people add in gibbous when it's like about to be full or has just gotten past being full. Of course, there's tons and tons of lore about like what you're supposed to do during certain moon phases. Kind of don't ascribe to any of that. You know, usually I've read things that like you're not supposed to do magic during a dark moon. Which I totally do the opposite. Yeah. I heartily disagree with that advice. I've also read that you're not supposed to do magic when the moon is void of course, which means it's in it's traveling through the zodiac and it's in between signs. So that's bullshit too. I don't worry about those.
I was gonna say I have never had these rules put upon me.
I feel like with that, like with the moon symbolism is like any other symbolism you use in like your practice. It's more about how you feel about it than there is some sort of like rule, you know, like if like color symbolism and things like that, like if it has a significance to you, if it's going to enhance how like you're able to will work, then it's significant for you. But like the idea that's the idea of saying that you can't do something or like because of a certain moon phase is just like silly.
Yeah. Right. So. No, I totally agree. Also, I mean, the reason why I feel that way is obviously the moon's phase is just the shadow of the earth relative to the sun. So if we were looking at a different angle, it wouldn't look like that. So the moon is always
something for
complete.
Someone.
Yes. It's not shrinking or growing. So it's always, and I mean, in the scheme of things, in terms of the size of the solar system and certainly the galaxy and the universe, it's always very close. It is quite close compared to other things in the sky. So I feel like that's getting picky about how our shadow is falling on it is probably negligible compared to whatever forces it is exacting on the earth. And then in terms of like the signs, so obviously the moon, just like the sun, goes through all the zodiac signs, the constellations in the sky, and it cycles through them basically every few days, so that basically the moon is in a different sign once a month.
Right.
So this last one was full moon in Scorpio. And I will say I felt that one. And I think a bunch of people did too.
Yeah.
It's like out of nowhere, everybody was getting the spooky vibes. Like I was just sitting there and like, I was just like, oh, I want to like burn some incense and like feel all floaty and weird and do something freaky. Like, and then I had tons of people like hitting me up for advice on tarot cards. Like people I've known for decades that have never expressed any interest in it, and out of nowhere were like, tell me all about tarot cards. But not in that accent, because I don't know anyone that talks like that. So sometimes the sign of the moon I notice a little bit, but I think there's naturally more. My armchair astrologist version would be that like certain signs I think amplify or like snowball with lunar energy more than others. So like Scorpio would definitely be one that does, because it's a water sign. It's got this very like spooky ooky chthonic type of vibes. You know, Cancer is ruled by the moon, so that would probably be like a very like moon feelings, all that kind of shit.
Is that what's going on inside your brain all the time, Lily?
All the time.
Feelings.
And I'm like, shut it down. Put up your walls so nobody sees all these feelings underneath.
Gotta get my little shell.
I need my shell. I don't want people to see me crying.
Pinchy.
Moon.
And then you
feelings.
Just scuttle off sideways.
That is what I do. That's how I walk. But like, for anybody who's just like listening and doesn't has never seen me walk, I walk sideways. That is.
Yeah, you just scuttle.
Just
moon feelings.
Yeah, but but like I feel like Aries, like Moon in Aries, it doesn't really, because it's not a very lunar vibe. So it's just normal full moon energy, in my opinion.
Right.
And then, of course, obviously the moon is cycling through these signs regardless of what phase it is. So you could also mark what sign it is in the dark moon or any other phase of the moon. So short story long.
The moon.
Wait. Yeah, the moon.
It's always complete. That's my favorite.
The moon is great. Yeah. And then, you know, there's like special moons.
Yeah.
You know, like a blue moon is when there's two full moons in the same calendar month, because the lunar cycle is roughly 28 days.
Right.
And none of our months are 28 days. A black moon, which is my favorite just because it sounds good as fuck.
Yes,
it does. Is when you have two dark moons in the same month.
Ooh, spooky.
Right. And then you have lunar eclipses, which are fun. That's where the shadow of the earth covers
blocks.
You get earth shine, so light bouncing off the earth onto the moon. It's when it looks all brown and weird.
And the pink moon is just because it's spring.
Yes, that is for the month. So right. It's not because it looks pink, although it might.
Yeah.
Because of atmospheric conditions. Same thing with harvest moon. Like usually people think when they see a rising full moon and it's real orangey, but harvest moon is a month. I was going to talk about that because me, like a fucking dork, I have a spreadsheet of like all the different systems.
Amazing.
Of what they call the different moons of the month.
Wow.
Because I was like, I want to make up my own because I can do it better than people that have been doing this since the dawn of being able to name the month.
I don't know. Blood moon is pretty cool. So good luck topping blood moon.
Yeah, basically my list is just blood. Blood.
Light blood.
Bats. The death. Bats. Skull.
Bruise.
No,
Bruise moon. I like
vampire.
That.
All the goth things.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think the one that most people are familiar with would be the Farmer's Almanac ones, which are... like wolf moon, snow moon, worm moon, which sounds gross, pink moon, which is April, flower moon, strawberry, buck, fruit or barley, harvest, hunters, beavers, or cold, long night moon.
Hmm.
But there's a bunch of others, of course. There's like a Celtic one, different witchcraft traditions have their own. The English medieval one would be wolf storm chased.
Ooh.
Like not slutty, which I am not here for. Seed hair. Diane, or I don't even know what that means. Mead, corn, barley, blood, snow, and oak.
Blood.
There's a whole bunch of different North American Native groups. So the Shawnee, Comanche, Cherokee, Choctaw all have their own names for it. Some of them are similar to ours, which would presumably be where the Farmer's Almanac names came from.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese ones, and I don't have a source of where I got this. This is just off a spreadsheet I made. So if this is not historically accurate, I don't have a source. So I've totally made this up.
Not moon advice. Do not seek.
But I got like holiday moon, budding moon, sleepy moon, peony moon, dragon moon, lotus, hungry ghost. Ooh, so
ghost
hot.
Moon.
Hungry ghost.
Oh, hungry ghost.
Oh, hungry like ghost. Ooh.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. They just out-gothed me right there.
Yep.
Chrysanthemum, kindly, white, and bitter.
What?
Bitter moon.
I like that.
Ooh, feeling it.
Ooh.
The ancient Assyrian ones were month of flooding, uh-huh. month of evil spirits.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Month of happiness, month of love, month of building, month of harvesting, month of ripening of fruits, month of sprinkling of seeds, month of giving, month of awakening buried seeds, month of conceiving, and month of resting, my fave.
They got real literal.
Yeah, they did.
Right?
Yeah.
Just, I mean.
Well, I mean, that's true. That's translated from Assyrian, so there might have been some symbolism there that has been lost through the thousands of years,
right?
By modern translators.
Fascinating. But
in addition to my weird list, I did try to start noting down things that I noticed that were happening in those months, not necessarily on the full moon, because that's going to change what date it falls on within the month, but things that happened during that month. So, for example, I noticed that, like, in late March, early April, that's when dogwoods and redbuds bloom here in North Texas. End of May is when the end of the magnolias are blooming in my yard. June, obviously, June bugs, fireflies. Mm-hmm. August, September is hatch chili season, which we all know about here in Texas. Figs are in September, December, September, October, peaches and pears. And in October is pecans.
Nice.
All the major Texas food groups. So you can see what we value here. I'm like pecans, peaches, chili peppers, figs.
Get our priorities.
And then some flowers.
Yeah.
The months that don't have those things, I haven't noted anything of significance down. Because if it's not a flower or a thing I can eat, fuck it.
Indeed. On board.
Oh, wait. I did have some other significant... the end of August, or end of October, the maple... 1st of November, the maple leaves fall off the trees. At least the one in my front yard when I was a kid. And the monarch butterflies migrate through here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then for summer months, I just put locust.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets proportions.
If you've never heard a tree scream,
yeah,
come to Texas.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who is a friend who lives in like the Northeast, and they were talking about cicadas, and I was like, we get those every year, because they were like, oh, we're about to get the cicadas again after years.
They're like, I'm 17 years, and we're like, every year.
I was like, what? I was like, y'all don't get those every
year?
None
of this weird prime number hibernation shit for us.
Nope.
What?
All the time. You know, it's weird. I haven't heard them. That's right. I haven't heard them in a long, long time, really.
Dude, you miss it when you don't hear it. When I lived in New York, I was like, something's weird. And I realized it was because I didn't hear this trees rattling and screaming all the time.
Well,
in fact, there were very few trees on my streets.
It wouldn't seem to matter because for some reason, San Diego is the nighttime helicopter capital of the universe. Any idea, but between the hours of 9 and 11, good luck going to sleep is all I'm talking about. I have no idea what people are doing. I don't know if it's because it's like there is like a Navy strip lander like close by. I don't know. There's like 14 hospitals around here. Also could be a thing. No idea. But all I know is helicopters all the time. And we do have crickets. I do hear crickets. So that is a thing. But yeah, I miss the cicadas. That is not about the moon at all. But no, I like that. I like that breakdown. I wish I could do something like that here, but it would be like rain, month of sun, like just endless 10 months of sun. And then
big tomatoes, medium tomatoes,
right? Yes, that is true.
Small tomatoes. Surprise tomato.
I'm there for sure. Surprise tomato. Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. What did you guys do? What do you do anything normally? And did you do anything this past time? Have you done anything that you really super remember your whole life? Like in your witchcraft career?
Well, when we first started getting together for witch time, I would just do like a standing espat. So like a full moon or dark moon, just so we would have a monthly thing. Because obviously like the big high holidays, some of them I'm not really super jazzed about anyway. And then they're like every other month. So I really like that and I do miss it. I am super jealous of one of my friends who's been posting to Insta because she does like monthly dark moon and full moon altar setups where she like switches out the decor on it and does like I'm super jealous of that, but and I think that that would be a good practice for me. But definitely is like if you're in a group, it's like a really great excuse to get together and do something. Sometimes I notice that it's a thing and I try to do stuff, but I also don't really do like a lot of spell casting or need the moon to like charge things or whatever. So for me, it's more of an excuse. Like if I was putting off something or I wanted to have a get together or I was planning something and I needed that excuse to get off my ass and do it, I'd be like, well, the full moon's coming up or the dark moon's coming up, I should do it. Mm-hmm. But we've had some really cool, like, full and dark moon things that we've done. And then when I was working through parts of the Hecateon, it specifically said, like, because it's a 9-day thing, and it's supposed to end on the dark moon. So you gotta go look it up and do a little bit of math and subtract 9. It's a lot of
you can things do it.
I don't like.
Right.
But that's also fun in terms of using, like, that anticipation of... I mean, I like that, too, the idea of, like, anticipating, like, a certain special day coming up. It's always exciting to feel like some event is about to happen.
Right.
So,
like, but counting in terms down of, like, toward it, yeah.
Yeah. But in terms of feeling like I need to do something, and if I don't, I'm wasting it, I don't like trying to get into that space. I don't. Right. It's more like if something's happening or I feel compelled to do something, I do it. But I don't want to feel like, oh my god, I'm so lazy, I didn't do anything for the moon, or like, you know, oh, there was this lunar event and I missed it and I wasted it. Like, I don't want to make myself feel like that, so I try not to get caught up in that.
Yep. But, yeah. I think I'm in the exact same place. Like, I do something when it strikes me to do something, where I feel like I need to do something. I never really, like, I have charged things on a full moon occasionally. I did it way more in Texas than I do here. I don't know why. I just don't really feel I feel like all my stuff is charged all the time. So sometimes if I feel like there's been kind of a weird negative vibe going on, I may just put stuff out there that I feel like I need, I don't know, to kind of get it cleaner. I don't know. And again, I don't really know if that works, but I'll say what I did this past one was a lot for, I mean, as compared to what I normally do, because I would normally just like go outside for maybe a few minutes and, you know, move my hands around, say some things and be done. But like, I felt the need this last time. I think it must just be like, you know, kind of coming out of the pandemic a little and having this, not fear, but like anxiety about rejoining society, because I kind of really don't want to. Mm-hmm. So I have that going on, and I just felt the need, like I needed to bury things. So I liked what Brandon was talking about on our last episode, how he buries a lot of his crystals with his plants. So I felt the need to do that. So I buried like this quartz that I dug up in Arkansas myself. I buried it by the rose bush that sits outside my window where I work every day. And then I buried something in each, like in each quadrant of the front and backyard. And I don't know why I knew I had the objects, and I had a little dish of offerings. And I had that already. Like, this was more prepared than I have been in months to do anything. So I think it's like this, like springtime kind of coming out of this shell, or at least wanting to think about coming out of that shell. So I really, not only was I like ready to do a thing, like there have been months where I'm just like, I'm not doing anything. It's no big deal. You know, try not to make myself feel bad. But this time I was like, no, I'm like, I guess I'm really fucking doing something. So I buried stuff. Well, it gets weirder. Get ready. So I buried all this stuff and like said stuff in each, you know, section of the yard that I was burying stuff in. And then I'm like standing out there, and I mean, this isn't weird, but like, I don't usually feel the compulsion to like get naked in my backyard.
Yeah, and I totally did.
I like fucking took off my clothes.
Good for you.
Kept, kept my socks on.
it's business time.
It's business time.
Your feet gotta stay warm.
That's why they call them business socks.
I have my business socks on. But, like, that's, like, I don't know why, like, that urge would not, even, like, I think it was the thing of where, like, okay, well, that is, like, clearly not a normal thing to just take off your clothes during, you know, doing, like, you would normally fight that urge, right? Like, no, I'm just going to go back inside and then I'd have to put my clothes back on and what the fuck, you know, like, but this time it was just, like, don't fight this urge to take your clothes off.
Mm-hmm. Don't ever, like, do okay. Always take your clothes off.
It was just really, it was really strange because it almost felt
How did it feel?
Well, it felt amazing, but making the decision, like, didn't feel like I was in control of that decision. You know what I mean? Not like I was, like, somebody was trying to speak through me or I was possessed or anything like that. Just, like, it was so definitive that there was not my usual hesitation, and I don't know why, but since I have done that, just, like, lots of, I don't know, I have felt better.
I was going to say, was it, like, empowering? Like, was it an empowering experience?
It was, and everything I did for this moon was very intentional, except, you know, with the passion striking me to take my clothes off and maybe, like, say or do certain things, because it wasn't scripted, but, like, the things I chose to bury were intentional, and the fact that I was going to bury them was intentional. It wasn't, like, super spur of the moment, but it kind of was, like, I don't know, it was just really energetic.
Lunacy
moonstruck.
I was.
Tell us about what you did, Lily.
Well, I had reached out to y'all because I was like, you know, lots of things are happening in my life right now, and I'm just feeling like I need, like, to kind of, like, feel empowered or, like, be strengthened and stuff. But I was, like, at such, like, I don't know. I was just, like, at a total loss of, like, what to do. And Blackbird had suggested sharpening my mom's pocket knife, which is always something that I used to do, especially when I was, like, cursing or when I was doing any sort of, like, spell work or will working by myself. And Scarlet had the really awesome idea of, like, kind of harnessing that, like, Baba Yaga energy and, like, drawing, like, chicken feet, like, in the corners of the house. And I was like, oh my god, I'm so glad y'all are my friends, these are such good ideas. But we were talking about the moon and stuff, and it was Blackbird who suggested, she was like, I think that you should do this stuff on the full moon, because it's the full moon in Scorpio, and which I don't really know that much about, that's not, like, really my thing. But Blackbird, you said that it was all about, like, psychological, like, death and rebirth. And so y'all kind of, like, guided me to it. But what had also happened was I kept having all of these, like, bird encounters. Like, I was like, so there was, like, we never get, like, this is, like, the second time in the 6 years I've lived at this house that I've seen a hummingbird. And, like, I was like, something was going on and that was making me emotional, and I turned and looked to the back. Like, we have this, like, sliding glass door in the back, and there's a hummingbird just, like, you know how they, like, just, like, hover in one place. And it was just, like, hovering there, like, looking in at me. And I was like, that's crazy. And, like, that's,
I've never
crazy.
Seen a hummingbird here.
Oh, so that's the second time that I've seen hummingbirds here, like, at the house. But so that happened. And then, like, the next day there was I was getting gas at a gas station, and a bird flew into my car and then, like, dropped dead. Like flew so hard. Like, it scared me. Like, I was like, ah, flew into my car and then dropped dead. And then that same day, there was a blue jay who, like, had attached itself to the, like, the screen of the window. And same thing, was just, like, staring in. And I was like, what is going on with these birds? Like, this
they
is
have
crazy.
A message for you.
Yeah.
And knock, knock, motherfucker.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So, sure. Yeah. So, that was, like, the Monday, because it was Monday night, was the full moon. And Blackbird was like,
Moon Day.
Oh.
It's named after the moon.
Didn't even think about that. So, Blackbird was like, I think that you should do your like ritual for strength tonight. And I was like, I think I should. Like, I'm not really like one to like plan things around the moon, but I was like, no, I think that you're right. I think it's like things are happening. So, and it was, it ended up being like pretty intuitive. So I pulled out these like little cards that I had, and I just, I used a sigil that I had designed for the sigil book that me and Scarlett are working on called The Warden, and all about like boundaries. And I drew that on one side, and then I drew chicken feet. I did two of them. So on one side was the sigil, and then on the other side was the chicken feet that I drew. And I was like, I'm going to hang these above the doors. I'm going to hang one above the back door and one above the front door. And like, so then I just like, I don't know, I just like, it got like kind of intuitive with it. I was like, okay, I'm going to pull out my mom's knife. I'm going to pull out my dad's glasses. I need my pipe. I was like, I need like salts. And so I was just like thinking of the things that I wanted to like grab. And at first I was just like kind of listening to music, and like there, like at the beginning I was just like listening to like some music to kind of like get me in the witchy mood. But like I just had the urge to just like, I'm trying to think of the right way to describe it, like wipe my arms, like just like it felt like shedding, like I was just like pulling things off. And it got kind of like frantic at one point, like just this like not painful, but just like scraping away at like my arms and my face, like scrubbing my face with my hands. And it felt really good, and I like stomped on the floor, and it felt, and I like shook out my arms a lot, and it just felt like really good to like to be doing that. Ooh. And so then I'm trying to like it like remember like the order of things, because you know, like when you get into this space, it's like you're like, I remember I did things, but why and at what point did I do those things? Right. So I pulled it. I actually have, like, Scarlett, you made me when I first moved into the house thieves vinegar, and I still have some of it. Yeah, I still have some of it. And so I pulled that out, and then because it was like the chicken feet, and I was trying to harness that like Baba Yaga energy, I had some like vodka, like from so long ago, because it has been that long since I like had people over to like drink. But I had like, I poured a shot of vodka, and I like set up my little like altar in the kitchen, and I like dipped one finger in the vinegar, and I like put like a fingerprint on each sigil, and then I dipped another finger in the vodka, and I put like a fingerprint on each, and then I kissed each sigil, and I spit on it a little bit, but not in like a, like more in like a gift, like giving my saliva as like a gift to it, not like in a like a derogatory sort of way. And then I like lit my pipe, and I smoked, and I gave some of the smoke as like an offering to the sigil as well. And then I was like walking around, and I was chanting while sharpening my mom's knife. Gosh, what was I chanting?
This is awesome.
I was chanting, I devour your insecurities, I swallow them whole, I unhinge my jaw, I slither beneath your feet. And so that's what I was chanting.
What?
While I was sharpening the knife. And then I took the knife, and I like to each sigil, and I like traced the sigils with the knife. Not so much that like cut like into the paper, because the knife was pretty sharp at that point. Not so much that like cut into the paper too much to like make holes, but I traced each sigil with my mom's knife. And then I took each card with the sigil on it. And I, as I was still chanting, I like pinned, like taped it above each door. And then I have this little dish of Himalayan rock salt that I keep on this little shelf by the door as kind of like an offering to the kobolds. So I took that, and I like dipped my finger in it, and I rubbed it onto each sigil. But I was still feeling like I needed to like I had energy, so I was still like stomping and like banging on the floor, and I was like, I need to like light some like incense and stuff. And I ended up taking my mom's knife and taking the incense out into the backyard, and I just like felt like the knife needed to be stabbed into the ground, so I stabbed the knife into the ground, and then I just sat there for a minute just like feeling good, and then I felt like I needed to lay down. So I laid down in the grass, and I took the knife out of the ground, and I moved it around my body. Like, at one point, I was laying it on my head, and I just had my mom's knife, like, on my head. And then I moved it to, like, my chest, and then I moved it to, like, my root chakra area. And I just laid in the grass and just, like, listened to the wind and stuff, and I was watching, like, the birds fly above and stuff until it felt like, okay, I can go inside now. And then I went inside and I like cleaned everything up and I just like felt real good. And then
no shit. And then a djinn came out of your faucet because holy fuck. What kind of magic are you rotting?
And then your house stood up on its chicken legs and walked away. The
fuck That's off. Exactly what happened. But oh so
God. Blew off in a mortar and pestle.
Holy shit.
So then that night at like 1 a.m. I woke up randomly.
There's more?
Yeah. So then that night I woke up like randomly at like 1 a.m. and I heard this sound and I thought it was the cat and I looked over and there's some light in the room because I still have the baby monitor. So there was like some light in the room from that and I looked over because I thought it was the cat like doing something, but I have this giant feather that's actually like a quill that I got with Scarlett at the Renaissance Festival one time, but it's this big feather and it doesn't move. It's like, this hasn't happened before, but it had like fallen off my altar and just like fallen onto the hope chest by my bed. And like, I was like, and birds. It made a noise and like, it's like, I was like,
what? Feathers don't make noise?
No, there was a noise. And that's why I turned and looked behind, like looked like what? I was laying one direction and I heard this noise and I turned cause I thought it was the cat doing something. I was like, what is Winston messing with? So I turned around and the feather had fallen off onto like the hope chest and was just laying there. And I was like, well, that's weird.
That is insane.
And I went back to sleep, and I told y'all about it.
Oh, my God.
The next
That's
day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love everything about that.
I really love...
Well, I love what you talk about, like, doing kinetic things with your body. Like, I don't know. I felt like I needed to, like, scrub my face, or I felt like I needed to stomp or lay down. Mm-hmm. Because that's something I struggle with when I do a ritual. Like, I either just kind of do it in my head, or I want to like write stuff out and read it. But every time we've ever made a conscious effort to try to do something that's more about moving or just feeling present in your body and feeling sensations on your skin or like feeling where your body wants to go or how it wants to behave has always felt so liberating and refreshing. And it takes a leap of faith to just like, especially as like, a woman or anybody that feels like they are constantly being policed in public, you are constantly feeling like you don't want to take up too much space. You don't want to be too obvious. You don't want, you know, like all these things that, you know, you're supposed to stand up straight, but like not look cocky, or, you know, you're supposed to walk briskly so you don't look lost, but you don't want to walk too fast. Cause I don't, you know, all this shit. So just like letting your body just do whatever is a very hard habit to let yourself do, and it feels amazing and it can feel silly, but it usually just always feels like super satisfying and grounding. And so I love hearing you try to give us your thought process on that, because it is very intuitive, it's very instinctual, but like I think that that's super helpful for people, because it's something that has deeply enhanced my practice when I try to let myself do it. So I'm glad you told us about it.
Yeah, for sure.
And oh, Blackbird, I did this something you taught us where like I took my fingers and I tapped my chest at one point, and at, like it got like pretty like I ended up tapping like really hard, like not like painful, but like I like really forcefully, and that felt really good too.
Yeah, that move, that Donna Eden, not Barbara, but Donna, Donna Eden tapping of like right under your like clavicle.
Yes, it's
like right under your clavicle. If you right there. Tap there, that's an instant like mood enhancer, mood releaser, and it's almost like the harder I do it, sometimes the more the faster the reaction happens, I guess. Or like what speed I use to tap. I don't know. It's like it. You can do it at different rates and get a different result to me with that clavicle tapping. That's actually, there is a there's like a meridian in that area. I'm saying this wrong. Someone's going to call me out.
It sounded really...
Sounds good.
I'm serious. Right? I believed you when you said it. I still believe you, even though you put a disclaimer on it. So fuck you.
So fuck you. That's... I was going to say, I'm fascinated by your whole process. And also, I love that it was so... intuitive, but like you did come with something, like you knew which objects you wanted to have in front of you or with you, mm-hmm. and what you wanted.
And you had a sigil you had made before,
right? Yeah,
some things were things that you've done before or had prepared, and then some of it was completely spontaneous,
right? Mm-hmm. Which I don't know, like to me, like for my practice and what we've all shared together, like those kind of like putting those two elements together, some stuff that we've kind of gotten our shit together about and some stuff that we just do off the fucking cuff because it sounds and feels right. Mm-hmm. Like those are the best rituals that we ever do. And I feel like when we've been together, that's all we do anymore is like we come with a little bit and then we make up the rest as we go. And it's awesome. It always produces amazing energy.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah, we've said it before, but when we usually do outlines for our rituals, like I just started doing it so that if people felt like put on the spot or stuck or just like their mind went blank, we'd have some kind of scaffolding to you know, be a prompt, right. Be like line, you know, but it's really just there as a plan B to in case like people just felt put on the spot.
Right.
And so it's good to come prepared with stuff, but it's also, I would say, more important to be open to just feeling it out and seeing what, either how you want to move or how, if you want to shout or say something or sit down or close your eyes or light some incense or, you know, whatever it is that you just feel compelled to do. Or say, or whatever, to just like let it flow, because I think that even though in a group ritual, people feeling like kind of stuck and not knowing what to do or say is a little bit awkward, I think it's worse to have everybody just like doing it like it's church, where everyone's just reading and they're thinking about something else and it's totally on autopilot and you're not thinking about it and you're kind of just checked out and like you're there doing it and your mouth is moving, but you may as well be somewhere else. Like, I think that's probably a bigger waste of time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like my favorite yoga class is the one where the instructor says, if you want to do child's pose the entire fucking class, go for it. Like, those are my favorite kinds of classes to feel like you're really, nobody is going to fucking call you out if you're not, you know, do your own thing, like choose your own adventure.
Yeah, which is not to say don't challenge yourself or don't push your limits, but like don't feel like you are being graded by someone else.
Right.
You know, if you're working in a group and you feel like you are being graded, or if you do something it's gonna ruin the whole vibe, that is not the group for you.
Right.
You should not feel that way. I mean, if something screws up and it's hilarious, like that's healing magic right there. If everyone just has a good laugh about it, or if it's just awkward and it breaks the ice, like there's a million reasons why quote unquote screwing up can completely enhance a ritual. And conversely, like feeling like you are doing something wrong is not the environment that is conducive to doing magic. So. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other topic.
True. Oh, I do remember that one. That one that I did with the moon water. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah. I can't remember who was in your backyard. And we all had to envision our different waters.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And I like, it was a good one.
It was really good how different
everybody's like water was, because we had to like we just had to envision water, and it was like, yeah, it was really interesting how different like everybody's like, when you say okay, what is your water, and everybody's like what they picked is like their water was so different,
like what their favorite
body of water, like,
or whatever
Scarlet, was. Yours was like the desert or something, It was like,
I don't even remember. Yeah. I mean, I remember this because I remember being in your backyard and there was a thunderstorm on one side of the sky.
Yeah.
And then there was the moon rising on the other, but then it was open starry sky above.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And it was like super surreal. Witchy. Like if I had been able to get a panorama of it, it would have looked fake because it was just like all the different things that could be happening in the sky at once.
But yeah,
I
Scarlett,
just remember
yours was
like
that
was,
oh, I remember. I remember my water. You're
desert
right.
Water.
It was in the desert.
Yeah.
It was when I went to on a school field trip to the Big Bend, but there was there's like natural springs and it's
yes.
not like a geyser like you think of like Old Faithful. It's just water will seep up from the ground because it's like this stony outcroppings and then sand, and it'll just pool in these small puddles that are like, you know, like a gallon or smaller. And we were able to, like, you could just cup your hand and drink out of it because it's, like, completely pure. And it was slightly basic. Like, ever, so 7 is neutral pH, and it was ever so slightly alkaline. And it was the most delicious water I've ever tasted. It was, like, super magical to just, like, as a city girl, be like, I'm just going to drink this water out of the ground. Which is, like, not a big deal to anyone else, but, like, you know, for someone in 7th grade, it was very fucking magical, and
yeah.
I'll remember it for always.
I just remember that ritual was very intuitive and off the cuff. Like, I think I read some stuff, but then we, like, just went with mm-hmm. what the atmosphere was dictating, and it was really, really cool.
It was good.
And
that
then it
good
summoned
one.
A bunch of Hecaties and Heckaduggies.
Yeah.
Because
then
you
yeah,
had found a bunch
the
of
dogs
there was a,
in your yard.
There were a yeah. bunch of, yeah, there were all these dogs barking in the yard, and yep. then there were all these, like, black cats running loose. So.
Yep.
Yes.
I remember that.
That
yes.
was a good one.
That was a good one.
I need to go back and look at some of our earlier rituals, and maybe I can post them to the newsletter as, like, oh, yeah. open source
mm-hmm.
stuff, because we're at like what like almost an hour and a half, so we
mm-hmm.
need to wrap it up. But I yeah. was gonna mention two books that I was using when we first got together, and we didn't have like a lot of our own material built up of stuff that we had tried and really liked, or like original stuff that we had written. And this one book that I really like is called Sisters of the Dark Moon: 13 Rituals of the Dark Goddess by Gail Wood. And it is, I mean, they're kind of Wiccan-based, but each moon is the dark moon in that sign. So you can obviously start at whatever cycle you're in. You don't have to start at the beginning. But I really liked the archetypes she came up with, because obviously, like, some signs are usually, like Aries, you usually think of as being like very masculine. It's ruled by Mars. It's very aggressive. So kind of harnessing that energy in a dark moon capacity that's not so like aggressive and martial and everything. Mm-hmm. And so she does that for every sign. And there's like a little invocation you can do. There's like offerings or things that she suggests. There's also like a little guided meditation. So it's really good for groups if you feel like you're really stuck. So because I would basically kind of use them as a template to get us started. And I would either fold in other stuff that I knew we were going to want to do or try, or tweak the words if, you know, so I wasn't just like copying them wholesale, because I mean, I'm not going to say everything in this book is like the best thing I've ever heard, but,
good
but
jumping
it's a really
off
good,
point. Yeah.
It's a really, really good jumping off point, and especially just to show you like a basic structure to do sort of like some background info about the symbolism, some sort of background info about the archetype, and then to do a sort of circle casting or quarter call, which you can either do or not do. We did them at first, which I think was helpful, and then we kind of got to a place where we stopped because we felt like we didn't need to do it.
Right.
But I think doing it and seeing how it felt and then figuring out what worked or didn't work was a really important process for us. And then to do like a little guided meditation. There's also a section to like kind of set an intention and do like a chant, which you can do or not do. So I like that book a lot, and I'll post it on the newsletter. And then the second book that I thought was pretty helpful was In the Shadow of 13 Moons, Embracing Lunar Energy for Self-Healing and Transformation by Kimberly Sherman Cook. And it is also a set of 13 dark moon rituals. It's not divided up by the zodiac. It's kind of more thematic. And it focuses a lot on, like, sort of what people will call shadow work, I suppose. But there are some really, really good exercises in here. There was one, like, there's a section about casting a dark circle, which, whether you like her words or her process or not, I find that process very intriguing. So, like, taking what you normally would do or what you think you're supposed to do and not inverting it, not doing the opposite, but, like, what would be the dark moon version of that, I think is a really great writing prompt. And then there's some other really good stuff where she is talking about, which we've used before. We actually did a whole podcast on it. We didn't use her specific ritual, but I love the idea so much. It was about dark elements. So instead of just doing, like, earth, air, fire, water, it's like, really think about, like, what those things are and how they function. Like, yeah, water, ooh, it's cleansing, and, like, you need to drink it or you'll die. And your plants like it too. But also, like, tsunamis, floods, like, water making things rot and fall apart, you know, drought, the absence of it, like, thinking about the destructive or, like, not cute and sweet versions of it, right. And just sitting with that feeling of discomfort is really magical. So, anyway, I recommend those books. Even if you've kind of got your own thing going on, I think that a lot of the ideas and topics are good writing prompts, even if you don't use it as written. And like I said, they're really good for groups if you're trying to figure out stuff to do with multiple people that feels interactive but has enough structure that if you've got some noobs or, like, people you don't have a rapport with just yet, to give you sort of a little bit of a script.
Well, and if you're interested in, like, doing more with the moon, I mean, start small just by looking at your weather app to see when the moon rise and moon set is, you know, like, it's on most weather apps. So just start with that and see if you feel more like kind of feeling like you need to do some magic around that or not. I don't know. Like, start small for sure. If it's something that calls to you.
Well, I think just on a subconscious level, like, putting that information into your brain and forgetting about it, like, right. It still plants a seed that there's a part of you that's aware of that information now, even if, like, you're like, oh, I know the moon is rising, but, like, I didn't go out and look at it, or I tried, but it was cloudy and I couldn't see it, right. Or whatever. Like, I am strongly of the belief that, like, any information you put in there, like, it's... My grandfather used to say, you're not going to get bow-legged carrying it around. So, but I think that, like, especially with, like, lunar magic, putting it in there and just letting it operate in your subconscious or unconscious is totally how lunar magic works. So yep. Just putting that information in your brain, forgetting about it, and letting it operate that way is magic just in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies.
That was a lot of moon talk.
That was a lot of moon talk.
Some Nick Cage talk.
Nick Cage talk, but we'll have a full-on Nick Cage episode soon.
We need to have a share episode.
Nick Cage episode.
Soon we need to talk about this.
Acupressure.
Yes, it is an acupressure mat.
Are those tiny little spikes?
Yes, ma'am. They are tiny plastic spikes. See, can you see them? They're spiky. You lay on it and it will take you to nirvana. But only after 5 to 7 minutes. You must endure some of the worst pain you have felt for the first 5 to 7 minutes. But we'll discuss that next time. I don't have anything, any news for news time. Which news corner?
Which news corner?
Which news corner?
How can people get in touch with us, y'all?
Well, you can email at us. Whoa, I just said that. I just said email at us.
You can
email at us. Get on the
hexratedpodcast@gmail.com.
Jamail.
They can also check out our amazing and plentiful Instagram at HexRatedWitches.
Yes. Website at HexRatedPodcast.com.
We're on the Facebooks, HexRated. There's our uncoven. Sign up.
Yeah, you can sign up for our newsletter and join our Facebook group, The Uncoven.
Woo!
So,
yes. So much.
Do,
so many
do
ways.
All of those things. If you like this podcast, subscribe it.
Review it.
Like
rate it.
Review it. Read it. Take it in.
Blast it. Blast it in your car when your friends are held captive.
Yeah. Oh, yes, my God. Yeah. Yes. Definitely do that.
Let
do
them
all
hear
the
our
things.
Beautiful voices.
Find us anywhere. We are with you. In
carrier pigeons. Send them even.
Let us give thanks and sign off with the extra holy hocus pocus bitches. Oh, I'm going to have a good time editing that shit. All right.